Oh, who's them?
Jan must have showed up.
No, that was me. I was able to get in to the panel.
Very good. But anyway, these Saudi Arabians have access and control of, I think it was 5 floors in that hotel.
The smoking gun.
Yep.
There are too many evil people running around right now.
Well, Alex Jones put that word out.
I normally listen to him daily. In the last 2 days, I've been too busy doing other things.
Yeah, he's yesterday was pretty good. But anyway, I don't really have anything else to update, but what's the deal on that last courtroom observer request, Terry?
The one that didn't
fill in all the information or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I sent it out. Jan made a comment that they didn't put in there the courtroom and the time, but they had a number. They didn't actually fill out the form, so I sent it out basically as an email to everybody in Wisconsin. I think it was Idaho and Illinois. There were 3 states, but they never got back to me with regard to what transpired or anything like that.
Well, it's important that we have the information, or we really can't do anything for them.
Right. Well, what I had to do was I had to have them send me a text message. And I copied that text message into the, it wasn't actually the form, but it was a notification, and I sent it to the 3 different states. So.
Okay. Yeah, I seen that you had sent it out.
Right, right.
I didn't read it. I did see Jan's note on the lack of information.
Well, you know, that's on them. You know, they should know what to put in there. You know, you can't send out something without the. I mean, there's a phone number there, but it's always helpful to have a courtroom and hearing time.
Well, if people don't know where to go, they're not even going to show up.
Well, we had that, I think, but, you know.
Yeah. We had another guy try to get courtroom observers 4 hours prior to the court hearing.
Yeah, Helbig or something, I think it was.
That don't work so well either.
No, it didn't, because, you know, I mean, I'm not here 24 hours a day. You know, I have a business to run. You need to give me some kind of notice.
Well, whether you have a business to run or not, you got to have time to
right. To
put everything together and send it in and get it sent out.
Right. You got to have adequate notification. And he simply didn't have it. Because what happened was it was supposed to be held on the 15th, and he calls up and says, oh, no, we're changing it to this afternoon at 12 o'clock, you know? So that's just not enough time. Plus, I had doubts about whether anybody was going to be able to get in there, because it wasn't a hearing. It was actually a deposition.
Yeah.
Depositions aren't generally public.
Well, depositions are not, you know, they don't need observers for depositions.
Right.
And, yeah, you're right. They are, you know, they're in a closed room.
They're probably better off because, you know, anybody who went down there, they probably wouldn't have been able to get in anyway.
Well, they wouldn't have. Well, there's no reason to allow them in. I mean, that's private.
Right.
If it's a younger person or someone who's just inexperienced, hasn't had the situation, you can't blame them for not knowing that.
Well, no. That's for sure. And it's frustrating not being able to help everybody, but we have to have time to get the word out to people, and then the people, you know, they have to have time to get the message and react to it. 4 hours just doesn't do it.
Right.
But I, you know, the courts do that a lot anymore with changing the court date without saying anything ahead of time. Just call you up and say, oh, you missed your court date. But I do believe that we're going to see less and less of that here very shortly, because the word is out, and more word is going to be out, and more things are going to be happening, and they can't keep everything hidden for long. It's going to come out. There are things that are still happening that... people are not allowed to talk about, but it'll be soon enough.
You mean good things, Robert?
I'm sorry?
Do you mean good things?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Many good things.
Good.
I mean, here lately, hearing the things that I'm hearing, I'm smiling much more.
Oh, that's good to hear.
And one of the biggest things that makes me happy is to be proven right about what Trump has been doing. He received a lot of information during his campaign from the right people. And he's been acting on it ever since he walked into the White House. And even those things that he said that people thought was so, you know, They thought he was crazy because he was saying these different things. Nah, crazy like a fox. Everything he's done, everything he's said has been baiting deep state and the Democrats. Just drawing them out. And, you know, he's been throwing hints around here and there all this time because he knows what's coming. And so he's been throwing hints around, but most people don't pay attention to it. They just, you know, Democrats are all so busy trying to take him down that they don't read what he's saying. And all good stuff.
I was wondering this morning what Mr. Trump's intelligence quotient was, how high it is.
Very high.
I was mentored by a gentleman who had 150 IQ.
And is that right?
It was a great relationship, and any time you're around that person, it boosts your IQ, and you just talk on the intellectual level, period.
Yep. Last time I took an IQ test was my first week, I think it was, in boot camp. I didn't even fully understand what an IQ test was.
Mine has come in around 130.
Yeah, well, they just said, you know, they gave the test to us before we chose the field of work that we wanted to be in. And they, when they asked me, I chose something that I knew pretty well from being a fisherman, commercial fisherman. And they said, nope, you got to have something that has a school attached to it because you're too smart to just take a everyday job. And I said, how come I don't feel smart? I'm just another guy from the boonies. Well, your IQ said you was 143 and you're a high school graduate. So you got to have a school. Well, it really didn't mean anything to me. But being a high school graduate meant something to me because I was the first in my family to get through high school. But that's all it meant to me.
We've had so much subversion in our government since before we were all born that there's no real legitimate estimation of how accurate anything is at this point.
Yeah.
For the reasons behind it.
Yeah. They wanted us to be dumb.
Trump's and success was built on the integrity and the productivity, desire, all those things.
Yep. Now, right now I'm looking forward to a Merry Christmas.
Well, Captain John, as of last week, had me pretty well convinced.
Yeah, well, he's got some very good sources. And he and I kind of check in with each other on different things from time to time, verifying each other and stuff. But he's got probably much better sources than what I have. So I definitely listen to what he has to say.
The observations that I've had in the courtrooms I've been in New Mexico in the last year, even before that, they could use some cleaning up. Or they could use some supervisory correction. And then the question,
well, there's going to be some major changes in how courthouses are run.
And you know it's not rocket science either.
Well, it's not. I mean, you look at, you know, it's run by common law, and common law is, you know, it's simple. There's nothing difficult about common law at all.
Kids should really be taught the Constitution beginning early on and basically practically memorize it, know it by heart, and go out into the world.
If everybody knew the Constitution by heart, this whole country would be so much better, because nobody would allow these politicians to get by with lying to them all the time. So it's you know, it's very important that we know the Constitution and that we ensure that our children know the Constitution. You know, that's just like in Oregon now, in the school system, the rules say that every child will study the Constitution through the 12th grade. However, that has not happened.
Maybe it should be included in a person's last will and testament. Pass on the Constitution.
Yep.
And it's that important.
It is.
That's critical. Not just as a nation group, but as a successful family group to carry that forward.
Well, I grit my teeth every time I hear somebody say that we are a democracy.
I didn't understand the difference between a republic or a democracy until, you know, decade ago.
Yeah, same here.
Hadn't thought about it.
Well,
so that was brainwashing.
Yes, and I was just as bad as everybody else.
But it's when you've been taken to the cleaner so many times by so many different people who claim to be innocent, then you start looking. I believe that's the way John Durash, from his experience in New York, how he got involved in it, certainly the way I got involved in it, was I don't like being cheated. Then when I go for justice and see it's not there, that makes you start examining the entire picture around you.
Well, that's smart to do that. And I just kind of blew everything away for so many years And I, too, got tired of being cheated and started realizing I didn't know everything that I needed to know. And it's been eye-opening once I started learning.
Yeah, and first you have to know what being cheated means, because like the young people now who haven't learned the preamble to the Constitution, they don't know what the Bill of Rights says. They don't know what the preamble to the Declaration of Independence says. They don't know that they are being cheated. I mean, you've got to know what justice is, really, you know, before you can ask for it or demand it, as the case may be.
Well, they don't know much of anything about this nation unless they know the Constitution, and they haven't been taught. They haven't even been taught the correct history. But, I was in Vietnam when I realized that something was wrong with the way things were. That was in 67, 68 in country, and that's when I got interested in learning what I didn't know.
I was realizing then something was wrong. I didn't go through the draft until 71. But I realized things were not what I was taught they were, and as a consequence, I never went to work for a corporation. I started my own business. I just could not work for those people. I didn't understand what they were up to like I do now, but my instincts just told me, don't get involved with them. I can't get involved with them. It went my own way.
Yeah.
And let me tell you.
Well, I worked for myself until I went into service, commercial fishing.
He probably used to catch a lot of fish.
Well, I was doing okay. Had my own boat and everything.
This would be off the Oregon coast, I'm assuming? Or?
Columbia River.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I would not have stayed a commercial fisherman because it was going downhill pretty quickly, and I saw it. But it was it did me okay while I was there.
Trying to remember 1985, I took I think it was my last vacation. I went to Reno to go snow skiing for a week, Squaw Valley in that area, and at dinner one night, ran into two fishermen from up north of California, your direction, who said they were out of business 1985.
Yep.
They were crying in their soup.
Yeah, a lot of them were forced out by, good old government regulations.
Yeah, we know what that adds up to now.
Yes.
Purposely put people out of business.
Yep.
To get very upset, realizing the whole thing was a big fraud.
Most everything that's happened in government has been a big fraud.
And that for money, people are actually capable of destroying so many other people's lives.
Yep.
Do you mean that the corporations are a fraud, or just the system as a whole?
Well, just fraud is dishonesty, and that is person by person,
Okay.
It is individual people who are steering the ship, and it's just amazing to me that people can be continuously make careers out of doing such.
Right.
But you know, that all started at the county level, town and county level, and worked right up into the federal government. And that's why we have to start at the county level to stop it, to end that corruption.
Right back to the sheriff.
Right back to the sheriff, but it also, goes right to the people.
It does, and they form the committees of safety, and then they keep an eye on the sheriff.
Well, they keep an eye on all the elected officials. And if the people of a county were to be, if somebody explains it to them properly, they'll join a committee of safety. And if enough people in every county join a committee of safety, then they can pretty much dictate to the elected officials, you will do it this way, what the people want. And if you don't, we're going to take you out of office. And if the elected official doesn't think that's right, then Committee of Safety can submit a petition of recall. And if they've got the majority of the people as members, they're going to win that recall, and they'll put somebody that's constitutional in there and take the bad one out. And once enough counties in a state are formed and are operating, then they take control of the state. They start telling the state, we the people, the will of the people is this, and this is what we want done. Then the state starts listening. And once you get enough of the states listening, then you have control of the federal government. And then we're in good shape.
Especially when the states get to pick the two senators again.
Yep. So it all starts with we the people. We have to take responsibility for the freedoms that we have or will have again. For every freedom that we have a responsibility. And so we need to live up to our responsibilities as a people. And if we do that, we will never allow this to happen again. Now, I can understand how easy it was done before without computers and an easy way to talk with each other. There was a lot of things that could be hidden. And it was easy to be lulled to sleep, as slow as what they made the changes. I mean, they just bit by bit until they had a big chunk of our rights. Nowadays, it's much harder.
Like the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, I've read into that. What did go out in the papers, what the people heard was, well, we really have financial problems. We need this banking group to come in and help us. And that's about
right.
All people heard, and it was fraudulently enacted. But that's what you're talking about, Robert. Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
And how easy it was.
Well, they took advantage of the fact that the country is so big and very hard to to talk to each other across the country. And so everybody was just, you know, they were living their life and being free, and they just started taking it for granted. We can never, ever allow ourselves to take it for granted again once we take it back, and we will. We are.
Well, was the nation, I mean, was our country ever really bankrupt at all?
Yes.
Was that after the Civil War?
1933.
It was bankrupt in 1933.
That's where we had to have a bailout.
And everything went to the IMF after that, correct, Robert?
Yep. And but the bailout is where they started using birth certificates and made the people collateral for that loan.
Yeah. Well, how much did we owe? I mean, I don't mean to take off on a different direction, but how much did we owe and when did it get paid? Because
it's never been paid. It was set up to where it could never be paid off.
Okay. Because of the interest and all that?
Yeah, well, when a child is born, then the lien holder gets the original birth certificate. And that's like a bond. And when that child dies, that is the bond maturing. And so when a child is born, the banker throws in so much money, and when that person dies, then they receive so much money back as that bond matures.
Oh.
And so all that interest and everything is just, it can never, by the way they have it set up, it can never be paid off.
It's a reason to set it up in the first place.
Right.
Jan in Kansas, I believe it is, ma'am?
Yeah.
I pulled up the if you look at the Organic Act of 1871, certain versions have described the whole takeover through the years, and in 1933, they've listed this as the 11th major move, that the Trading with the Enemies Act is adjusted to recognize the people of the United States of America as enemies of corporate U.S. What a beautiful thing that is.
Oh.
And I'm looking for what Robert just quoted, because it's all in here.
Of the corporate U.S. That's a government services contract, isn't it?
Well, no. You know, in the Constitution, they allowed the 10-square-mile area to be created for the seat of the federal government, which became Washington, D.C., and the fifth major move they made as of in 1913 began corporate U.S. No, wait, that's not it. 1913 began corporate U.S. had no funds to carry out the necessary business of the government, so they went to said families and asked if they could borrow some money. That's the Act of 1913, the Federal Reserve Bank. So I'll read it if you want to hear it, but it's just reviewing. We all know that. So in 1871, the District of Columbia Organic Act created a private corporation, hereafter corporate U.S., owned and operated by the actual government for the purpose of carrying out the business needs of the government under martial law. That's the result of the Civil War. And the country was basically bankrupt after the Civil War. But you go up to FDR's time, something I read in 1944. Yeah, the Bretton Woods Act, which I remember being educated on in school. seemed like it was 10th grade. But anyway, under the Bretton Woods Agreement, 1944, corporate U.S. is quitclaimed to the International Monetary Fund and becomes a foreign-controlled private corporation. Now, isn't that a beautiful statement? So, which, and then we move forward to 1968, between 68 and 71. At 68, at the National Governors Conference in Lexington, Kentucky, the IMF leaders of the event, who already controlled our federal government, proposed the dilemma the state governors were in for carrying out their business dealings in Federal Reserve notes, foreign notes, which is forbidden in the national and state constitutions, alleging that if they did not do something to protect themselves, the people would discover what had been done with their money and would likely kill them all and start over. They suggested the states form corporations like corporate U.S. and showed the advantages of the resultant uniform codes, that's uniform commercial codes, that could be created, which would allow better and more powerful control of the people. Once again, isn't that a beautiful thought?
Yep.
And by 1971, every state government and union of states had formed such private corporations, corporate state, in accord with the IMF admonition, and the people ceased to seat original jurisdiction government officials in their state government seats. And, you know, we've had an unseated Republican government ever since. And the thing I notice between 68 and 71 is the exact time frame when we ended up with Tricky Dick as our president. And at least I think he's Tricky Dick. I was brainwashed to believe that in the news. And we would not have gotten Mr. Nixon as our president without the murder of Robert F. Kennedy. He had already been defeated by John F. Kennedy in 60, and Robert Kennedy had won the Democratic primary in California when he was murdered in August and was on his way to being elected as the Democratic candidate for president. Richard Nixon was on his way to being nominated as a Republican candidate for president, and there's no doubt that the country wanted to replace the one lost Kennedy with the other, and he was taken out. We get Richard Nixon, and how ironic that in his term as president, 68 to 71, all the states are converted to corporations. So who am I to notice these things is all I have to say.
Well, there's, you know, all through the years, in fact, before we were even had a constitution, we had forces working against us that wanted a new world order, one world government under a dictatorship. And they began working in the 1700s to take everything away from us and take the whole world over. And they just worked very slow. You know, you go back in the books and you see how different things changed over the years. It's like 1903, there was stuff happening, changing the militias around a little bit, replacing the state militias with National Guard. And then you come up on 1946, and that's when judges and attorneys got together and they changed a few words and stole the common law grand jury away. And it's just, you know,
you need to do all these things if you're going to take over Heil Hitler.
Yeah, well, they worked very slowly. They just, they weren't in no big hurry. Very smart.
When I talk to people now about all this, strangers that I meet, I try to first first off tell them that you have to understand that the European monarchies financed the original discoveries of the New World, and they think it belongs to them. And we'll always think it belongs to them.
Yep.
Well, I'm just, first of all, these are the next comments that I'm going to make are disjointed. They don't go together. But I've heard that there was, in addition to being state militias, that there used to be county militias that were not necessarily, you know, under the command of the, I guess it would be the governor. So that's one comment. And then the other one is, were you, when you brought up about the 1871 Organic Act, were you reading something in particular, or were you just like kind of giving us a synopsis of what you'd read about it?
No, it's just something I found on the internet where someone has listed, it's titled The 15 Most Important Moves Upon Factual Historical Evidence Since the 1871 Organic Act.
Okay, 15 Most Important Moves Since 18. That sounds really interesting. Thank you for bringing that up. And the other thing I wanted to say was that the Lakota tribe is, I was just online today and I'm just starting to look into it, but the Lakota tribe is asking, I guess the Vatican is the one, or the Holy See is the one that made up the first corporation, so, and that the Vatican is the first corporation ever made, and the rest of them were spun off from there, if my info's right. I'm not sure it is yet. But anyway, the Lakota tribe is petitioning the Holy See, and Pope Francis in particular, to, like, retract what you just said. There's something called something of discovery where the Western world or the Europeans with the Holy See said that they could go out and take over any land that the people were on that weren't educated, or I'm not saying this right, but anyway, that they got to take it. And it's something that comes out of the Vatican, and so the Lakota tribe is called the Lakota People's Law Project. The Lakota People's Law Project. I've just mangled the information, but it's really stated really simply there online. And they are trying to, you know, address that concept that you just brought forward, you know, about that the European kings think that they own everything that they touch. So,
well, we all,
and I yell.
Yeah, we all are swimming in the same suit now. And as, you know, we Americans, we the people talk about our rights, you know, we're neglecting to remember that there is Native Americans in North America, in the United States of America contiguous, I feel awful at this moment because they were here first, but I wasn't around at all, you know, and I was just born into it, and we're all born into it. And what do we do with that now? Well, we have to, what you described there those are conqueror people who say, you know, my neighbor comes over here, hits me over the head and kills me and takes over my land, and it belongs to him, you know. That's not right. And we're all trying to work as a group, you know, under common law is based on morality and spiritual depth in the Creator. And not easy, but it's certainly a more beautiful scenario of a future than what the New World Order has in mind.
Yeah. Well, I'll address the militia thing that you asked. All able-bodied men, with the exception of a few high-ranking individuals are militia. It doesn't say that they can be or should be. It says they are. And that's between the ages 17 and 45 is the way it was written. Now, so everybody was militia, and yes, they had small militias that were in like the county areas, and they could be called up by the common law grand jury or the sheriff. And then there was the state militias, and they were under the orders of the state governor and or the president, and whoever called them up first was in charge. And they are the ones that transformed and became the National Guard. And in reality, it's still the same. Everyone who is able-bodied between, say, 18 and 45 are militia. And that's in accordance with the Constitution. And so the sheriff still has the authority to call up the militia. The common law grand jury has the authority to call up the militia still. And of course, we all know we have the National Guard, which, and the governor of the state and the president still have control of them. So the only thing that's changed is the name and how they're used. I do believe that it's probably unconstitutional to be sending them overseas to a foreign country.
The debates in the Federalist Papers was all about that, about minding their own business or getting involved in worldwide affairs, and the desire by part of we the people back then was we want to be as powerful as England, and to do that we have to get involved worldwide, and therefore we need a stronger federal government.
Well, yeah.
And basically we became an isolationist government right up to World War II. People here, there, and everywhere didn't want to get involved with world affairs, and they knew not to get involved with world affairs. And they'd been through World War I, and it was the Pearl Harbor event that talked everybody into getting involved with world affairs.
Right. And since then, it's been the elitist making money off of war has been the biggest reason that we've been to war so much.
Right.
Because the United States, not having its own treasury, print our money, create our money. Anytime we have to fight a war, we have to go ask the Federal Reserve people, will you lend us some more money and pay them interest on it?
Yeah.
That began actually almost the day after 1913. Enactment of the Federal Reserve Bank was a Archduke Ferdinand is killed, and World War I ensues, and suddenly we're dear Mr. Private Federal Reserve people, will you lend the United States money to go fight the war? And we've been doing that ever since. That's a $17 trillion debt.
But now the Republicans have just passed a bill that they hope is going to save America and not allow it to collapse financially. I don't know much about it yet. I haven't had a chance to read it all. But it's something big. That's just been in the last couple of days. I saw the headlines. Well, anyway, we've been here over an hour. And I wasn't sure we'd make it this long, but Terry, if you want to go ahead and sign us off.
I just had to unmute myself. I got to find the panel here. Let me see here. I got a bunch of things open on my computer. You know, sometimes I'm working on it while we're having discussion. Yeah, if you guys just want to, you know, let me find this, and I will convene the call. I don't have the panel in front of me at the moment, but this convenes a call for the Courtroom Observers Committee for November 8th, 2017.
Well, you guys have a good night. I'll try to have my computer working by tomorrow for tomorrow night's calls.
Here we go.